the right hand of God. You know, I want to talk about the Hebrew alphabet just a little bit as we're beginning here. You know, every letter in the Hebrew alphabet, with the exception of one or two, it has a meaning. For example, the aleph is the ox head. It's just like our A today, only it's laid over on its side, and the crossbar is the horns of an ox. But I want to tell you about the 10th letter. The 10th letter is Yod, which is the first letter of the sacred name. Do you know what it's shaped like? It's shaped like a hand, like this. We'd call it like a big comma, okay, is what it would look like. But it's the shape of a hand as you're looking at it in this respect. And it's God's hand to either correct or to bless. The choice is yours. Now, inasmuch as the Hebrew alphabet or the Hebrew language has no numbers like 1, 2, 3, 4, it uses the letters in succession, and naturally with it being the 10th letter, it means 10. Like you got 10 fingers, whoa. You know, this, God's word is amazing, and his alphabet is amazing as well. But Yahmin means the right hand. Yaman, M-A-N, means a right-handed person, which has nothing to do and does not take away from a left-handed person. It's because that Christ sits at the right hand of God. So having said that, maybe you can understand that God, with his hands, can either correct or destroy, or he can love and protect. Again, it's always your choice. This is why it's so important that in Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 18, that you understand the Hebrew manuscripts. What God says is they cover with my every joint of my saving hands with their kerchiefs, with their cloths that they weave together, which means a bunch of deceitful lies to discredit and teach you to fly to save your soul, and I'm against it, he says. So the right hand of God, the Yod, becomes very important. First letter of the sacred name, Yahweh, and how precious it is. We're going to be in Psalms today totally. Turn with me first to Psalms 118. Psalms 118. We're going to pick it up with verse 8. And verse 8 of Psalms 118, and I will begin, it reads, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." You want to always remember that. Your Father will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Some man might do that. Verse 9, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." That's to say your rulers. Put your confidence in Almighty God and his written word. Verse 10, "All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them." You and the Lord make a majority, quite frankly. Verse 11, "They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them." Many people do not realize the power that you have when you follow him. You may not see it because some people want, boom, they want to do. No, the Father hears you, and he's in charge. He cares about his elect especially. He expects you to keep order. He expects you to keep discipline. Verse 12, "They compass me about like bees. They swarm. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them." So you never have to worry about swarms, even though it's obvious it all comes and they're all directed from the same path, as Christians are murdered every day around this world. And it's happening before your very eyes. 13, "Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me." You may have enemies that would try to bring Christianity down. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Father is on your side. He will oppose you. Verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. That's what he is doing in this particular earth age. He sent the Savior to provide salvation for those that will obey and will listen, will believe. 15, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand, there's our topic. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of God is in charge, it's in control. Right stands for power and might. This particular song is one of the Feast of Tabernacle praise songs. And it is God's tabernacle from which we are fed. That's where we communicate with our Father. And when you go there as it is instructed, then certainly his right hand is what guides you. Verse 16, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. For repetition, so that you don't forget. 17, I will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. In other words, we gain eternal life. Do you understand that? You're going to have to put up with each other forever. Woo, what a thought. But that's what it amounts to with God forever. Whenever you have eternal life, it's there for the taking, is to obey him and to follow him and to stay under his right hand. 18, the Lord hath chastened me sore. Oh, he'll thump your gourd. But he hath not given me over into death, but he gives us that eternal life. If God loves you, he's going to correct you when you mess up. 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. When God touches you and when God helps you, do you take a moment to thank him? That's very important. You see, he's got feelings just like you do, only more so. He wants to hear from you. Okay. You know why? He loves you. That's why he created you different than anyone else. Your DNA is different, and look at you. Okay? You're different. Therefore, God loves you because he wanted somebody just like you. But he does want you to love him and be obedient. Verse 20, this gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. That's that veil. If you understand the renting of it by Christ on the crucifixion, whereby you don't need to be a priest or a preacher or a high priest, you just come on in. That's the gate. It's open if you believe. 21, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. There is no other. You need not look for it. Only he. 22, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. In other words, in this many-membered body that Christ has resurrected, brought back after they destroyed the temple, it's the tabernacle of today, the many-membered body of Christ. But he's the head. And anytime you forget that, you're headed for a bunch of trouble. How did we open here? Don't put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in the government, princes. Put your trust in him. Why? He's the head. He knows, he understands, and he has the power to come through, to meet you. That cornerstone is so fantastic, and yet so many refuse it, and it's going to crush them. Verse 23, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. When you see that many-membered body and when you hear from them around the world as they're coming together, praising God, wanting to serve, anxious to stand against the false one, it is a marvelous thing that God is organizing and putting together. 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. we will rejoice and be glad in it. Our Father brought it. 25, save now. Do you know what that is in the Hebrew? It's Hosanna. This is what they sang when Christ made his entrance into Jerusalem. Save now means Hosanna. I beseech thee, O Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. And he does. That Hosanna, saving now, that salvation is there. All you have to do is take it, but you got to live up to it. You don't con him. You don't cop out on him. You got to be genuine. 26, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. And Christ does that. He sits at the right hand. Do you want blessings? You want to know where it comes from? It comes from him. It comes from the right hand. That power, the right hand of God. That Yahman, that is to say, the right hand, I say it in Hebrew, of Almighty God. 27, God is the Lord. He is the Yahweh, in other words, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even into the horns of the altar. Do you know what that means? What does God want as a sacrifice today? Your love. Bind it with cords means the cords of your mind. As you reach out to him, and as you know how he has provided blessings for the whole world that will participate, he binds that love and he accepts it. He wants to hold it. He wants it from you. Why? Again, because he loves you. And how precious it is. And so it is. Verse 28, thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. 29, to complete this place, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Don't ever forget that. Do you know what this mercy means? It means unmerited favor. You probably don't deserve it, and you know why. But when you repent, he says, I want you anyway. You come on home. You come on into this tabernacle that's not made with hands, but is the love of the living God and protected by his right hand as he gathers those that will be saved, those that will hear, those that will follow. Why? His love. How he loves his children, because look what he puts up with. Do you understand, man probably would snuff out a bunch of people just whoom, right now, today, because of the way the world acts. But he wants to save them. That's what he's in the business of now. Hosanna, save now. And so he does. All right, let's turn to chapter 17. Same book of Psalms. We'll back up a little bit and kind of put it back in low gear and let's see what we can find out here in the 17th Psalm concerning the right hand of God. That all those fingers, number 10, one for each finger in Hebrew numerics, but God's outstretched digits, hand, fingers to save. Don't let someone cover it up for you with a bunch of lies and deceit. You keep plowing forward and know he has his hand upon you to protect you. Chapter 17, Great Psalms, verse 1. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. This is from David. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. I'm not talking, my lips don't practice in a bunch of deceit and lies. I'm telling the truth, Father, and Father always knows it. To let my sentence come forth from thy presence, let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Judge me and judge me fairly. Give me everything I've got coming to me, both good, bad, and ugly, all right? You might as well say that because you're going to get it anyway, okay? That's the way our Father operates. You get everything you've got coming to you. If it's blessings, bless you. If it's a little correction, a little thump on the gourd, hey, say, thank you, Jesus. Verse 3, thou hast proved mine heart, my mind. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. I'm going to keep my mouth for the Holy Spirit to speak through when I'm delivered up before the false one. The Messiah will speak through me. 4, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. He doesn't trick me. He doesn't fool me. And I'm not going there, the way of the destroyer. That's Satan and Satan's little oddities. Hold up my goings in thy paths. What is the path? Christ is the way. That's what a path is a way. That my footsteps slip not. Don't let me slip along the way. Keep me on that path. And that's one of the hardest things for us sometimes, is to stay on that path because we get detracted by something over here or there. Keep straight on. Verse 6, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. Do you know something? He's always got time for you. Whether you believe it or not, he does. And he hears you. Trust him and love him enough to know he's going to answer to what he has plans for you. He knows what it is he wishes you to do ultimately. And he's going to give you what you need to accomplish that. He will always do it. I, for one, can verify that. What a platform he has given us to reach souls around this world. He did it. Not man, not princes, but Almighty God. Verse 7, show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand, there's our word again, by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. I want you to know something, and I want you to grasp it real good. God's right hand saves, but at the same time when it comes to the enemy, he destroys with that same hand. Why? Because he has emotions. And he has love for those that follow him, that love him. And he always produces, and he saves by that right hand. He protects by that right hand. Do you know something? You don't have anything to worry about other than understanding the word, what it is he would have you to do, and to be obedient to him. He'll take care of the rest. And certainly his right hand will protect you. That's what it's there for, is to reach out when you're in trouble and assist. Verse 8 to continue. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wing. Do you know what the apple of your eye is? It's the pupil. Do you understand what man will go to protect the pupil of his eye? It winks like a nanosecond. Or if anything's coming, you put your hand before your eye. In other words, it's telling God, protect me like I was the pupil of your eye. Okay. That is so tender when you think about it. And hide me under the shadow of thy wing, that great wing that overcomes. He knows and he protects. A better protector you could not have than our Heavenly Father and his right hand. Verse 9, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. But he takes care of them. He always does. The main thing is, he delivers you and protects you with his right hand. Yaman, the right hand of God, that reaches out, that encircles you, that embraces you, that holds you under that wing, protecting you to the point that if it was something flying into his eye, he's got it. That quick he is to protect you. I don't know, don't you love him for that? You should, because he loves you. The right hand of God. Hosanna, save now. That's his business today. But at the same time, he will keep enemies from our shore and from our house. He takes care of business when you obey and use common sense and follow him. Okay, excuse me. Go down to chapter 20, Psalms 20. I want to pick it up with verse 5. Verse 5 of Psalms 20, and it reads, "We will rejoice in thy salvation and in the name of our God. We will set up our banners, the Lord fulfill all thy petitions." Do you know what that banner is? It's this Christian flag. That's a banner just like the tribes all had their own banner. It identifies. When you pray to the Father, but you pray in the name of Christ. That's your credentials. That's your banner. Christ is your banner. That's why the Christian flag is there. Set it up. God protects. And God anoints. And how he does protect. Verse 6. "Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand." There's the right hand again that saves. I don't know, are you under it? Yod, the hand, every digit there to work for you. Don't ever let anyone cover up those outreach saving arms with a bunch of malarkey, okay? False teachings. You stay with the Father that has the power and the might to comfort you, to guide you, and to direct you. How precious he is. God's elect are his anointed. Christ is his anointed. That's what Christ means, is the anointed one. Christos. Verse 7. "Some trust in chariots." Oh yeah, let's get us a war machine. And you must have a war machine. But don't put your spiritual trust in it. "And some in horses, speed and power. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God." You will trust in him. 8. "They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright with the banner flowing and flying." Verse 9. "Save, Lord, Hosanna. Let the king hear us when we call." And certainly he does. What a precious king we have that our Father loves, respects, honors, and keeps us. What a Father we have. His right hand always there to correct, to caress, and to free. The choice is yours as to how it operates within you. Now continue right on into chapter 21. We're going to go to verse 8. Verse 8 of Psalms 21. I want you to see as much as that loving hand can caress you, can comfort you, can protect you, how he handles the enemy. Verse 8, 21. "Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies." Thy right hand is what? His right hand shall find out those that hate thee. He knows when somebody hates you and is your enemy as well, okay? Think about it. What, you think he doesn't care? Well, I thought I was all alone. You're not. He cares. He knows who your enemies are, and he will handle it quite nicely. That's what his right hand does. Verse 9, "Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them, blot them out, gone forever. 10, their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. There's not going to be anything there to take root after the Lord's day. It's all going to be gone. There will be nothing to germinate, that is to say, sprout and bring forth wickedness. It just won't happen. Verse 11, for they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device which they are not able to perform. You want to fly away? Cover up God's saving hands and come with us, and we'll get you a jetpack and you can rocket out of here. That's about as silly as it truly is when someone lets you know you're not supposed to stand against the false one. When, what is a Christian for if you can't stand for God? And why could you not stand for him when that strong wing is right over your head to help you? More so than that, just do the talking through you. What kind of person would it be? What kind of wimp would wimp out on that when you have the power of God in you, around you, and with you? Verse 12, therefore shalt thou make them turn back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Their time is coming. Okay. Verse 13, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. And how could you do otherwise? In closing, I have one more place I would sure like to go. It's the 63rd Psalm. 63rd Psalm. God's right hand. He takes that right hand to direct. And do you know something else I truly believe? He takes that right hand, which is good for many things, but one of those things is to point the way. That's what the right hand is for, is to point the way of truth, to point the way for you when you're confused, when you might not know which way to go. From what we've covered today, what do you do? Well, who do we trust? What did the scripture say? Do not put your trust in man. God is pointing. Put your trust where? You put your trust in him. He said, you want the government to help you out? Do you think the government is the answer? No, God doesn't point to them. He points your way back to the Word and to him. The government can't cut it, but our Father can. So the hand of God does many things. It directs, it waves. It might even say stop. It signals you from the Word. You might say, well, I've never seen any of that. Intuitively, you probably have. If you were spiritually feeling, you could have felt that hand say, stop. There's danger there. Go a different path. And so you do. God has a way. And I believe that with all my heart. I know from experience that God does point and God directs. You can't go wrong following him. Again, trust some man? Uh-uh. The right hand of God and the way he points, the way he directs, that is what you follow. Why? He loves you. When you grasp his overall plan, it's much easier to fit into it and be blessed. That's why, therefore, it is good to study the scripture to find out what the right hand is for and which way we are to go. Psalms, to conclude, Psalm 63, we're going to pick it up with verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Don't wait till tomorrow. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land, where no water is. I mean, turn on the boob tube. Have you heard any truth on there lately, unless you're listening to Shepherd's Chapel? Okay. You know, I mean, with the news and everything, is there any water in this world out there where the swarms, Christians being murdered? Nigeria, 100 of them, Christians, yesterday? Because they will keep murdering until Sharia law becomes a total control of Nigeria? Do you think there is not a master plan? All these little nations didn't come up with this overnight. It's controlled from one place. And if you do not know where that one place is this late in the day, you're in a heap of hurt. His name is Satan. And he's controlling murder, death, opposite of what our Father brings. So keep alert. The right hand of God becomes more important every day in your life. It is a thirsty land, verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, in the very tabernacle itself where we talk with him. Even outside, he is with us. 3, because thy loving kindness, your grace, your unmerited favor is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. And how could we help but praise him? When in this troubled world, he gives you the word of God, the truth, the direction, the roadmap, and that hand, the right hand of God, pointing to you, go this way, go that way, go straight. Verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. How long are you going to live? Answer, forever. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. You give me the meat of the word of God, the meat that sticks to my ribs, the meat that gives me the authority and the power to move forward in his name, conquering, even if you would, the enemy with God's help. How precious it is to have the right hand of God protecting you. What that's saying is the truth that you get from God's word is the morsels that nourish, that strengthen, even in a dry land. You don't have to worry about it, okay? Verse 6, when I remembered thee upon my bed and meditated on thee in the night watches. Many of you pray as you go to sleep. You may even go to sleep praying. That's fine. That's no problem. That happens to me quite often when I am giving prayers of thanks for this ministry and God's blessings and leadership. It's okay to do that. Talk to him. That's what he wants. He wants to hear from you because he is with you. Verse 7, this is why we came here. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wing will I rejoice. My soul, listen carefully, my soul follow hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Do you want to know what gives you strength? Who do you count on? Well, maybe some man will give me a boost. Oh, that's what you're looking for? We've got some bad news for you. You should be looking for God to put your faith in. Okay? Man will disappoint you. Okay? Well, maybe the government will do it. Don't trust the government. Trust your Father. We are blessed with a mighty fine free nation and a good government. But don't put your trust in it, because bad people get elected sometimes and bad things happen. But when you have your trust in God, it'll always straighten out. You got no problem. Verse 9. But those that seek my soul to deceive it, to lie to me, to destroy it, shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They're going to hell. Verse 10. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. You know, for the scholar, you know what the foxes are? the foxes or the Kenites, okay? They like to jar the little tender bushes and knock the blossoms off. That's what happens. Verse 11, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. You don't have to worry about it. God takes care of his own. It is God's right hand that points in your life. Keep your spiritual eyes. Note what I said. I didn't say these peepers. I said keep your spiritual eyes attuned and upon the Lord, on his direction, in the way he directs you, and be blessed. Receive eternal life. A life in a world where he promised there's not going to be any of this bad stuff there. We're going to have a wonderful life with him forever. You know, that's something to look forward to. Here we work. There we are with him. We are with our husband forever. And how precious it is, the planting of the Lord. That wedding is going to take place. The right hand of God points you to it. Be ready for it. We're in a generation that is closing at a rapid pace. No one knows the exact time, nor should we even want to, really. It's up to him. I know when he's ready, that's right. Okay. I serve him, and I listen, and I watch that hand that points, and it points to the Word of God to find your faith, your trust in him. Take your love and enclose it, and go to him with it and sacrifice it to him and be blessed. For that right hand will direct you and that wing will protect you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your promises. We claim those promises, Father. We lean upon them and we place our trust in thee, not in man, not in government, in you, Father, to protect, lead, guide, and direct in this precious time that we call the final days. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
But naturally, the generation takes place when God brings them back to Jerusalem and Israel becomes that nation again. And that'll give it to you. Verse 5 and 6 of Jeremiah 24. Joyce from Tennessee. If Jesus' name in the Bible was without J's, what about all the other names in the Bible that started with J? It's a different language. And in the translation, it's according to what the name is. For example, many would say Jehovah. Well, that's incorrect. It's Yahweh, to be properly pronounced and spelled from the Hebrew manuscripts. It is... people have played, let's say, with the name of Christ, and because sometimes some people thought it was almost a sin to even say the name of our Father, which it is not. He loves for you to talk to him. So they would, some of the scribes and priests would even camouflage the name And down through the years, it almost got lost, but thank God it is locked in the acrostics in the book of Esther as well as Psalms, that man can't change it. It's YHVH, not YHWH. And you, so, but it's according to what language you're speaking as to whether there are J's or not. Naturally, Jesus has a J right at the front of it. But the proper proper Hebrew word is Yeshua. Okay. And there's no J there. But it's just another language, but it still means the same thing. Yahweh's Savior. There's languages, that's the way, by learning languages, we're able to take God's word and go to different people by learning languages. That's good. This is Robert from Mississippi. Isaiah 13:10, would you please settle a disagreement for me? I read somewhere in the Bible where God described the moon as she. I marked it down somewhere, but I can't seem to find it. I would be very grateful. Well, it's it is Isaiah chapter 13:10. Okay, he does refer to the moon as a she in Isaiah 13:10. So I hope that helps you out. Nellie from Texas, what benchmark should God's elect be looking for at this time, as we see the things coming to pass that will bring Revelation 12 into effect? As we know, the world government is one of the signs. Well, it's got, you know, we have so much trouble and mix up in the world right now, there's sure not about to be a world government. Now, what do you want to watch? And as much as the financial communities all over the world, there is one thing that will bring the world together in agreement. It's money. Okay. If everything is about to collapse, whereby if the world can come to an agreement and form an agreement, then you're kind of looking at a benchmark. I'm not saying that would be the end. I'm just saying, you know people, I know people. There's one thing. You know, take the European community right now. If one of them gets in trouble, they all hurt, and they all kind of pull together in a oneness, the euro dollar. Okay. Well, that could very easily, with financial markets all kind of married now, woven together, a lot closer than many might think, then that can bring about one worldism. And one worldism must almost come totally welded and in place before it can receive a deadly wound, okay? So that's the benchmark. Cliff from, where is Cliff from? I don't know. Okay, what is meant by, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven? Well, it means a rich man by what? Ill-gotten gains. It doesn't mean somebody rich that's rich from hard work. God bless them. That's the blessings of the living God. There's nothing you ever have to be ashamed of as well when you earn it properly. But what it's talking about, in old times, cities were walled. Why? Because of criminals. And they always had two gates. They had the main gate that even a horse-drawn vehicle, a carriage or a wagon could go through. It was big. But then at night, they never opened that gate, because if it was an enemy and you opened that gate, you would have to have a whole squad to protect that gate. They didn't have that kind of people to stand watch. So what they did, they would never open the main gate. They opened what is called the needle gate. The needle gate is a gate through which a man can go through one at a time, only one. And only two men need guard that gate at night, because they can handle whatever comes through there one at a time by shutting the gate. Now, well, what about a camel then? Well, if somebody's on a journey, camels were taught to kneel down and to crawl through the needle gate. But what did you have to do to enable the camel to crawl through the needle gate? You had to unload the big pack on top because it wouldn't go. So you had to unload your pack before you could go through the needle gate, just the same as a crook must unload all of his ill-gotten gains, repent, before he can enter the gate of heaven. That's what it means. Got to unload ill-gotten gains. But don't ever, if you worked hard and earned and managed well, that's God's blessings. Janie, from Jamaica, West Indies. Thank you very much for your wonderful teaching. My family and I appreciate it. What I wanted to know is, what will become of the other planets after the millennium? Will they still be needed to keep Earth in orbit? Satan, being Saturn's planet, will it be destroyed along with him? No, it'll be cleaned up. God created everything because he wanted it there. Symbolism is usually placed there by man, and God allows it. It's a good way to keep score. As you have Saturn right now, believe it or not, making a little circle right in Virgo, which means that's the Virgin. And right in there is where Christ also abides. So we've got a little something going on there. If that and $5 will get you a cup of coffee somewhere, okay? But it's something to watch, and it makes it interesting. God won't change his creation. God will change man, okay? I have to correct myself there. God will change Earth back to its original creation, okay? Allow me that, please. The Earth will be changed back. In other words, the firmament's going to go back out to protect us. There will be no more jet stream, and there'll be no more storms. Everything's going to be beautiful all around the planet, the Earth. Kathy from Massachusetts, would you please tell me where in the Bible the scripture is that says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper? Isaiah chapter 54, verse 7. But also it says, there is no tongue that shall say anything against you that you will not condemn. So God condemns any, if you're doing a proper work, if somebody says something negative about it, if it's God blessed, there's no weapon will be successful, prosper, neither will bad talk or somebody condemning a true work of God. It's not going to happen. God will see to it. Okay, Dewey from Texas. In Acts 2:38, Peter says to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Does this apply to all people, and is this what all need to do to be born again and saved? To be born again is automatic. Why? Because as it is written in John 3, it doesn't say in the manuscripts, born again. I know your King James does, so don't write me letters. I've read the King James many times. But the manuscripts say born from above, meaning you had to be born of woman from above to fit God's plan. You couldn't do as the fallen angels, which left their place of habitation and seduced woman rather than being born of her. So you see, that's a whole different subject. But it is true that you've got to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. But what is Jesus' name? What does it mean? Yeshua, it's Yahweh's Savior. That's to say the Father, the Son, and that Holy Spirit, which is the that you receive, the triune Godhead. And you should use all three names. But if you say it in Hebrew, the word Jesus, if you mean it that way, it is the Father, Son, and Christ's Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. Tony from Washington. Are there both good and bad figs in Jerusalem at this time? Someone who studies with Shepherd's Chapel is saying that there are no good figs at all in Jerusalem at this time and won't be until the millennium. He is trying to use the two sticks joined together in the millennium, and he also said Jeremiah 24 is also during the millennium. Well, he's full of malarkey, okay, whoever it is. Besides that, he's judging. You can't paint with a wide brush and judge a whole nation as being all bad. There's good people everywhere. God sees to it. God places them. But it's none of our business to judge people totally and completely. Jeremiah 24 speaks of the two baskets of figs. And that's part of the parable of the fig tree. Whoever this joker is, he needs to learn it. And maybe he could not mislead people. Certainly, that happened in 1948, not the millennium. And if he's teaching otherwise, he's setting a bunch of people up for deception. Militia from Kentucky. First of all, thank you. You're so welcome. My question to you is about Adam and Eve's children, or a child. People keep saying that Cain is the son of Satan. Please explain how. What could you tell me about this? Thank you for your time. Have a blessed day. Well, we always do. How have you ever read John chapter 8, St. John chapter 8, verse 44, where Christ is teaching? And he makes it very clear that the first murderer, well, let me see, who was the first murdered? Well, it was Cain, of course. He was of his father, the devil. And it's not spiritually speaking, it's physical. And to document again that it's physical, that Kenites are the offspring of the devil. Have you ever read Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 35, from the foundations of the earth? That's the katabo, the overthrow. God chose the elect and then brought forth this earth age. God, through the Son, planted the good seed, which is the God's children of all people. But Satan came in the night and planted his little seed. And that's Cain, of course. They're called tares. So you need to read that too. That's the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Chris from Oklahoma. Thank you for your teaching. You're welcome. A question, please. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed God after hearing Jonah's message of repentance. In verse 10, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil, and he, as he had said, and he would do unto them, and he did not do it. He didn't destroy them, okay? Why did God later destroy Nineveh and the people? I would appreciate your input. Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? I mean, he sent Jonah to Nineveh. This is why Jesus would say, when you look at me, the only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah. Why? Because he was in the whale's belly 3 days. He was burped out where some of the Ninevites saw it. They worshipped a fish god. So this is all set. And you don't really like, the fish broke the man, so we better listen to him. That's our God. Okay. Anyway, Jonah converted the town. The reason he didn't want to go there, he knew Scripture, and he knew that Nineveh, the Assyrians, were going to take his people captive. And naturally, after they did take them captive, then God could change his mind again, right? They messed with his kids, the elect, as well as the Adamic people, Israel. Steve from Pennsylvania. Question, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Also, verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. Well, the word eagle should be vultures, okay? You got a bunch of vultures gathered where Christ was crucified in Jerusalem. And that's what it means. But as far as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth to the west, it means just as sure as the sun comes up every morning and goes down in the west every night, Christ is returning at the second advent. That's what it's talking about, okay? Okay, Ron from Illinois. When I was younger, I was rebellious to family, friends, to everyone. I would like to know if I can be forgiven, or am I cursed forever? I watch your program from Well, of course you can be forgiven when you repent, when you mean it. You can't con God. But many of us in our past have probably offended people, been maybe hard to get along with, and maybe it's part of growing up. But Christ died on the cross to forgive sins. You know, Paul was one of a destroyer of the church. Until Christ converted him, he repented. He had a hard time forgiving himself, but he repented, and God used him to write most of the New Testament. You couldn't have been that bad, okay? So repent. God loves you and serve him, okay? Benjamin from Michigan, where is the temple house of God today? It's the many-membered body of Christ. It's everywhere. Where you have a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, where God's elect are, that are putting together the many-membered body that will stand against the false Christ in the end times, that is the temple of God. The tabernacle was set up for man to commune with God. And when he sets up the many-membered family, that's the way we commune with Almighty God through the very letter that he has sent us. That is the true house. That's why Christ could say, destroy this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. That he did. Sharon from Ohio. And Sharon, I'm going to have to hold that till next time because why? I'm out of time. I love you all because you enjoy studying God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. You know why? Because that's what he wants from you. When you read that letter that he has sent you, it makes his day. And when you make God's a day, boy, is he going to make yours. Why? He loves you. God is a God of love, and certainly he loves his children that love him. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me and you listen good. You stay in his word. Every day in his word, it's a good day. Even with problems. You know why? Jesus is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
The Book of St. John. What a fantastic book we have here in tape for you, for your convenience of studying as you drive or whatever the case might be, in the comforts of your own home. St. John, the writer of Revelation, as well as this great book of St. John. John taught in a way that he not only translated the word, and interpreted, fully translated the names as well as other things that made this word, this book, so easy to understand, helping the very reader see Christ in his work as God, Savior of the world. This book of John giving you the identity of the Kenites, as well as those events that would transpire in the end generation. That's your generation, beloved.
Arkansas, this is Shepherd's Chapel with Pastor Arnold Murray. Join with us now as Pastor Murray takes you on a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, line-by-line study of God's Word. Now, here is Pastor Murray.
All right, good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this Family Bible Study Hour. Praise God, it's good to have an opportunity to meet with you, to study His Word and get deeper in God's truth. We just thank our Father for the privilege of the platform that joins us together spiritually and visually and auditively to research His Word and the Word's